attacking.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are listening. I hope you're having a great day so far. Welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am your host, Jessica Concepcion, here to provide insight into why you should care about some information about human trafficking issues. I'm here to galvanize you, which means to just excite or shock you into taking action in your daily life or monthly, yearly, whatever it is. If you're joining for the first time, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. If someone sent you this, just give them a virtual high five, you know, because since this is a new thing for me, I'm a new podcast host, you know, I just love the idea of growing this community virtually in order to be able to have conversations about trafficking, to be able to grow together and to understand what it is that we are actually able to do on a day-to-day basis, monthly basis, or yearly basis, however it is you want to be able to connect to be a part of the anti-trafficking fear. And anti-trafficking, just to give you a heads up, anti-trafficking basically means that it's an atmosphere of taking action against human trafficking perpetrators. And anti-trafficking can also include working with survivors as well, or working in the prevention atmosphere as well. So prevention with human trafficking is kind of like what this podcast is about, sharing the information about human trafficking to make sure that we're being safe out there and also having that knowledge to be able to spread it to family and friends. So that is the galvanized portion. And then the restore portion, why are we here? What is restore about? And that portion is about restoring what the community is supposed to be for each other. You know, I'm coming from a Christian background. I believe the church has a big place in communities. There's hundreds, thousands of people who are at church on Sundays, connected to a body, you know, a church body. And there's so much that we are able to do potentially if we have the right information on human trafficking. Because human trafficking, let me take a step back. Human trafficking, all right, is linked to so many areas of life. So normally when we think about human trafficking, we're just thinking about sexual exploitation, the labor trafficking. That's the crime that's being committed to these individuals. However, when you peel a layer of it, what it comes down to is the vulnerabilities that got that person in that situation to begin with. And that's kind of how it's so relatable, how we all have dreams we want to do. We all have aspirations on what we want to become. And it's the same for those who fall into these human trafficking situations. Sometimes, especially in other countries in particular, because of a financial situation, a mom might fall into the human trafficking trap because they see an ad in the newspaper for teachers or an accountant or some kind of career, and it's an opportunity for them to make income for their family. And usually it's very easy to follow up with the ad. So let's say they follow up, they contact them, they have this interview with this quote unquote organization that's going to provide for them, and the job turns out to be in another city or in another country. So what then happens, and this is normally for the ones that become, you know, they are sexually exploited at the end of it, there's a process that happens. So they respond to this job opportunity, then they end up paying, let's say, like $5,000 so that they can get their their other information, they can provide the the organization that is saying that they're going to provide this job for them. And remember, this is a person that's responding to the ad who has a family at home, let's say like two newborns, like one newborn and a toddler, and they need to have an income. So they're responding to this ad, and the ad, the organization tells them, hey, you know, in order to transport you to this new place that you're going to be working, you need to pay us $5,000 for the expenses. So that's kind of how things, like what normally happens. So most of the time, it might not be 5,000, it might be another amount or whatever, but they have to basically give these people the money, and then they get transported overseas or to another country or another city. And basically they're saying, hey, you know, you owe us more money. In order to pay us back, this is what you have to do for us. And sometimes it looks like that, or sometimes once they get to the new city, they just like, hey, you know, there's no real job. You're actually going to be working in a prostitution house, you know, and they have them trapped there. And so that is something that is very common in Asia, Africa, in the Eastern Europe as well. In America, there are those false advertisement as well that also happen, but it might look a little different. So these people, you know, if you put yourself in that person's shoes, anyone, there's so much fraud everywhere. Have you ever gotten a call from someone and they're telling you, hey, you've won so and so amount, or, you know, give me your address, or give me your social security, or give me your bank account information? We've all gotten those phone calls, you know, with the excitement of an opportunity. And normally, you know, if you've been trained to kind of spot it, or you've heard about fraudulent calls, then you kind of have an awareness of what to look for. And so when it comes to talking about human trafficking, you know, we have to kind of take that step to say, hey, these are real people who made a decision, and they stepped into this wild situation that they never planned to be in. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, when you ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, no child says, I want to be a prostitute, or I want to work in a, you know, selling my body parts for, you know, I want to be abused every single day for 20 years, or I want to, you know, have work and like labor trafficking. I want to work 12 hours a day, not get paid for it, sleep where there's tons of people sleeping and I have no space for myself. I want to be trapped basically in a situation where I'm just stuck, and I don't want to prosper. I don't want to have fun. I don't want to, you know, live my life. I want to be someone's slave. No child comes up with that response when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? For the most part, everyone has a dream, a career that they have in mind. Maybe it's something their family has placed in their heart. You know, a lot of cultures pressure their kids to be a teacher or a lawyer, a doctor, you know, or scientist. There's a lot of different careers out there, even besides those, you know. And so the restorative part of the Galvanize and Restore podcast is really to bring the community together and understand the power that we have to make a difference in someone else's life, to provide opportunities, and to provide a helping hand, lending a helping hand when there's a need. And so I just wanted a quick reminder, and if this is the first episode that you've listened to, just welcome and thank you for being here. So today's episode is going to be about justice. So I wanted to dive into the different Bible verses on justice, and I literally opened my Bible and there was this passage in Amos, Amor, it's A-M-O-S, chapter 5 and verse 21. I'm reading from the NIV version. And it says, this is like the Lord speaking to the community. And it says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offering and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. And then this is the part that talks about justice. It's verse 24. It says, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never falling stream. And so this passage, it's about Israel turning. Basically, there's like a lot of conversations about repentance. The whole Bible is about repenting from your sin, right? And in this passage, God is really just explaining that sometimes, you know, your religious activities don't really do anything if there's no justice involved. And he really cares about how we treat people and what we do for others and the community itself, what the community is involved with. He really does care. And I found other verses that I wanted to just read to get you to just munch on this information. So I'm going to read the scripture and I'm going to let you know which verse it's in. And you can just munch on it. And I love that God is someone who is vigilant on our hearts and our minds. Like, he knows what's in each person's heart and mind. He's one of the, he's able to distinguish between a right and wrong in the perfect way. And I think a lot of us are determining right and wrong based off of how we've grown up, our principles, our preconceived ideas of different situations. We're all basically learning life for the first time, and we have the ability to change our minds on things. You know, you can think in one season of your life you're thinking about something in a certain way, and then in another season, because of your circumstance, because of experiences, because maybe your interaction with other people, you change your viewpoint on things. And so the cool thing about the Bible is that God's viewpoint on topics is so steady and beautiful, and it doesn't change with time. It's like a gift to humanity. Like, hey, like, this is what it looks like to live a godly lifestyle or a righteous lifestyle. This is what I like. You know, that God gives us his information so that we're able to absorb it, be transformed in our minds. Romans 12 talks about that, being renewed in our thoughts. And the reason it's so important is because we believe as Christians that the Bible is alive and active. So it's speaking to our situation right here and right now. And I love it because each person can open the Bible and not interpret it differently. I mean, that does happen, but it speaks to their heart and their soul. Some people will literally be so shocked when they're reading the word and they're like, oh my gosh, this is like exactly what I'm going through. This is exactly what I need to hear right now. Whether it's like advice from Proverbs or wisdom from Proverbs, or it's conviction, or if it's like a lesson that they learned through the scripture and they're taking it in, and it's encouraging because God uses scripture to talk to his people. He uses scripture to reveal his ideas for us, of how we should be living, of what he wants on the earth, of the principles of how he created this earth and the value that he's given to each person. Like, there's so much value in reading scripture. So I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of these scriptures that I found specifically talking about justice so that we can just kind of comprehend what God's point of view is on this topic and understand that he cares about it so much. He's not a God that is so powerful in heaven looking down and being like, you guys figure it out, you know. He's involved, and he gives us the ability also to be involved if we have eyes to see, and we have, if we have the ability to open our hearts up to that opportunity to help someone, or to be embracing principles in life that adhere to the type of justice that he might want. So I'm gonna go ahead and get started. So we have Isaiah 30, 18 through 19. It says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice." Isaiah 61, 8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing." Isaiah 1:17, "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." Psalms 106, verse 3, "Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right." Zechariah 7:9, "This is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another." Proverbs 29:7, "The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern." That one to me was like, it's like a sharp knife. You're like, ooh, that one kind of cut deep, Lord, because in, especially in America, you know, we have like a very, we're not very centered on community. We're very individualistic. So we kind of like, if someone's living in poverty, we're like, well, that's their own fault. They should go to school and get an education, get a real job, blah, 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 blah. So as a righteous person, like as a person who wants to do right before the Lord, he says it's important to care about justice for the poor. So justice, what does that mean? You know, what comes to mind when you think about that? Justice for the poor? That means we don't treat people just based off of their status in life, right? You don't let someone just get abused on the street because they're poor and they don't have the funds to have their own house, or, you know, to support themselves, to get their own lawyer and defend themselves in a case. They care about the justice for the poor. But the wicked have no such concern. You know, that goes into a lot of things, I think. Usually when we're talking about justice, it's because there's something being done wrong against someone. So anytime we see that, we should, you know, that should kind of muster in us something, you know, upsetting, you know, like we should be encouraged to say something about it, even if it's, you know, definitely don't get involved in something where you're in danger. But that justice for those who don't have the same, the resources as you, can, it's something beautiful before God's eyes. And he compares it to someone who doesn't really care what, you know, about God. The wicked, quote unquote, in the Bible is someone who's not really following God's ways. And, you know, God in scripture talks about how when you accept Christ into your heart, you know, he comes to live inside of you. He's walking inside of you. He's in your spirit. He's in he changes us as he changes the core of who we are. But the wicked is someone who doesn't acknowledge God and is not concerned about God or his ways or learning about him or anything like that. Doesn't really have a relationship with God. And so naturally that person, might not care as much, I guess, for the justice for the poor. And it's not to say that if you don't care about God that you don't have any morals, because I feel like that's a big argument, you know, in life. But this is just one proverb, and sometimes the proverbs, you know, it's kind of like, it's a little bit tricky because there people can come in and be like, well, you know, there's so many humanitarians out there and they care for the poor, you know, and I think, you know, righteous could also be right living, you know, being righteous before the Lord. So I am not a theologian, you know, so I'm just reading the scripture and finding the meaning as well with you and not trying to take it out of context whatsoever. I think it's important to know scripture and to not take it out of context, but I'm just being honest with you. I am learning as well. So I'm just going to say the wicked is someone who probably doesn't know God as much and does not care as much for those who are poor. I guess that's kind of what it is. And I've seen videos of people doing generous things to others, you know, who it seems to, like they care really for people living in poverty. There's so many organizations that are out there doing charity work. But I think this verse talks about justice in particular. So it's not necessarily always about the need, but justice is when there needs to be like a solution resolved for this person. And sometimes, you know, I think when it comes to justice, getting justice for someone else typically requires more resources and everything. Kind of like legal aid in the community, they provide a lot of resources for the community. So this is very interesting, guys. All right, and then I have one more Bible verse. It's Psalms 33:5. It says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." The earth is full of his unfailing love. I love that. And I know right now, especially with the news about Israel being in war and all these things happening, it's horrible. It's really hard to read a verse like this and see it for the truth of the matter, because, you know, people out there are making choices to harm others, and that is the decision that people are doing. But here it's the Bible verse is like a reminder that the earth is full of God's unfailing love. He has an unfailing love for us that is a treasure in our life, and it's something that's beautiful. It's something that is, you know, when you concentrate on that, the unfailing love of God, it ministers to you just thinking about it, how big God is to have created this earth, how small we are in comparison to how huge this earth is. It's like insane. Everything's insane. And you know, the funny thing is, like, we can be in one place at one time, but God is everywhere and omnipresent, and he's filled with love. So you can always call on him if you need help. You can always just say, "Hey God," you know, and talk to him. He answers us when we seek him. So it's insane that his love is here, you know. I think the enemy of, you know, in the Bible it talks a lot about Satan, you know, God's adversary. He tries to paint a different picture about God and say God's someone that's angry, God's someone that's, you know, putting all this rules on us and not wanting us to have fun, not wanting us to live our lives, wanting us to be restricted. But the truth of the matter is that the earth is full of his unfailing love, that he has a love for us, for humanity, that is so beautiful and so deep. And that that's a reflection of his character and who he is, you know. And we have to keep that in mind when we're talking about things that are painful to talk about, or things that are dark and things that happen on the earth, because it's like two realities. Sometimes it's, if you concentrate on all the bad news that's happening right now, it's definitely going to taint your reality, right? You're like, oh my God, this is happening, you know. But at the same time that the war is happening, somewhere else in the world, there's a wedding happening. There's babies being born. there's beautiful moments taking place. So it's like there's constantly good and bad events happening every single day. But as humans, the pain of experiencing something bad is, it can taint how we see everything. So that's why it's almost like, dang, you know, like, God, give me eyes to see you the way you, you know, see this earth and see what's happening in my life, see everything with the courage to embrace the faith that's before me, like to embrace how your word describes you to be, not how I am feeling because of something I've experienced or because of what I see on the television and the news and everything. Those are things that God cares about as well. Like, he wants justice. He wants to see people in good situations. He doesn't, that's why he tells us to care about justice, because if we care about justice, that means we'll take a stand when we can to make a difference, to say something, to donate some money to a certain cause or anything like that. So he cares about justice, that means we should care. And when we're experiencing injustice in our own life, we can always be confident that he sees us and that he cares and that he's there with us in the situation. We can pray to him and ask him for justice as well. I love the Isaiah 61a. It's like plain and simple. It says, for I, the Lord, love justice. He loves it because he loves things to be good, you know. He doesn't want things to just stay bad. And so that's just, you know, the importance of realizing that God loves justice. And as a Christian church, as a body of believers, we need to do the same thing and have a mindset, you know, that cares for other people, who cares about what's happening in the world, and people who are aware of the different situation, of the, you know, good and the bad, and the outcome of things, so that people can get justice and not be overlooked and not be taken advantage of and not be given over to an unjust situation. I love this. We could dive deeper, even dissecting all of these different verses. You know, it's crazy how when you read the word, you're able to translate it back into the original text language, so like Greek or there's another language that was used as well in the Old Testament, New Testament, but you're able to translate it. And you know, it's like English and Spanish. Like I always say, English and Spanish, they don't translate directly into each other. So if I say something in Spanish, sometimes there's more like an emotion tied to just one word, and there's like beautiful phrases and meaning and stuff, and then translates into English and it's more like a little bit like just very straightforward, and there's not like an emotion, you know. You have to add the adjectives into it, but the word itself doesn't describe what you're already trying to say, if that makes sense. Like Spanish words sometimes already, like just the word itself has like such a deep meaning. So with scripture, it's the same way. If you translate it back into Greek or Hebrew, it's some of the meaning behind the text, like it gives you deeper definitions for each word, and then you get a deeper revelation or understanding or insight into what that one particular scripture has to say. And I think it's insane, but like people have written whole books on just one verse of the Bible. Listen, it can get that deep. So I read a couple of scripture, and I hope it was something that was meaningful to you. I hope you enjoyed listening to this idea of God caring about justice, and that you know that he cares about you and that he cares about the people around you. He cares about the justice. Share this podcast with a friend, and I hope to see you back another time. And leave me a message. But if you want, you know, message me on Instagram. I definitely am there at Gallery Store, GalreStore. And I love to hear what you think about justice. And if you learned anything new today, if you haven't heard these scriptures before and you're interested in just digging deeper into it, also message me and we can do that together. But yeah, share this with a friend, and I hope the remainder of your time today goes well, and that you're relaxed and comforted, that there is a God that loves you, and there's a God who fills the earth with his unfailing love. Stay tuned next Monday for the next episode. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Bye.